tonight we stand.
I feel the cold. Oh, I hear the call. And I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me.
Amen. We could have been a lot of places tonight. Amen. But we felt the pull, felt the call. Amen. Aren't you so grateful? Turn around, shake somebody's hand tonight. If they're a visitor, tell them to welcome to the house of the Lord. Amen. Let's play a little more of that. For just a moment, as we read the prayer request tonight, want to remember Sister Estep wants us to remember her son Mike Blevins has damage on the bottom part of his heart, and they can't do surgery. They've given him about 6 months to a year to live. Please pray for traveling mercies for Sister Estep and the families. They'll be going to Ohio next weekend, so we certainly want to remember that need tonight in our prayers. Also, someone. There's no name on it, but turned in an unspoken prayer request tonight. Lord knows all about that need. Also, pray for Anthony and Betty Wallace for needs in their family tonight. Brother Gary asked to remember Sister Lona in her prayers tonight. She's in a lot of pain. Also, he has an unspoken prayer request he asked the church to remember. Remember Brother Danny from Jonesville, Virginia. Asked prayer for his son, David Marangelo. Has a tumor on his brain, so we certainly want to remember that need tonight. Also, Sister Teresa White asked prayer for her aunt, Loretta Savage. Says she's hurt her back in a lot of pain tonight, so we know the Lord's mindful of that need. There was an email sent in, please remember a trapped soccer team in Thailand. The Lord Jesus Christ can deliver these 13 young men, so the Lord knows all about that need tonight. Want to pray for them. Brother Barry English needs prayer for healing and strength so he can gain his weight back. Said to tell everyone that he loves them. Amen. So we just want to remember Brother Barry this evening in our prayers. Also, another request was emailed to the library from Brother Mike Johnson. July the 2nd, Roger and Faye Robbins of Madisonville, Tennessee. They lost their oldest daughter, Amanda, and on July 3rd, they lost their other daughter, Sheila, and her husband, Scott, all the results of separate car accidents. Says our family is known and fellowship with the Robbins family for many years, and just ask for us to join them in prayer as they mourn the tragic loss of their two daughters. Amen. I know the Lord certainly is mindful of that need tonight. Amen. That family hurting. Amen. Let's just stand to our feet, Brother Terry. Amen. Would you come take us before the Lord in prayer tonight over these needs?
Praise the Lord. And I'm going to say it again. We get to go to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's one. I just love it. What a privilege. Let's all pray together. Believe, and we'll see these manifestations, these requests, if we believe together. And I know that we will. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so thankful to be counted as your children. We're thankful, Lord, that as we sing this song, I picked up a little phrase in there. I feel the pull, but there's a lot of people can feel the pull, but in that one verse in there says, he speaks to me and I agree. What a tremendous privilege that you have put representation into your bride, that when you speak present day truth to your by your word, through your word, through your servant, to your children, and we can agree with that word, agree with the word of God, and say amen to the word, and our life manifests the word of God. What a tremendous miracle that is. We're thankful, Lord, that you put that there, that we have that capability of doing it, not within ourselves, but what you did. We thank you, Lord, for the visiting brothers and sisters from Brother Fred's church in different places that they're here. We pray that you just bless them, pour out your anointing and spirit on each one of us and them, the ministering of the word. Lord, may it be a wonderful time of fellowship around the word of God this evening. We think about that first request, the heart damage to that individual, only given a year to live. Lord, the same God that when my wife had her second liver transplant, they gave her a year and a half to live. She's living now after 12 years. So the same God that healed her, can same God that can heal that person with heart condition. And each one of these requests that I hold in my hand, they've been read. Lord, you're an ever-present help in a time of need, as we said. And I believe, Lord, the price has already been paid. You ask one thing, can we appropriate that faith? Faith has been restored in this generation. Somebody's believing. We will see, and I believe hear of testimonies of these requests, people being healed. Grant it, Lord. I just pray, Lord, we'll have a wonderful time of fellowship around your word tonight. We ask your anointing on our brother in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. How many's come to have church tonight? Amen. Amen. Let's sing that little song, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Amen. I'd like to welcome all the visitors with us once again. Amen. So glad to have you with us tonight. Those that be streaming, amen. I'd like to welcome them as well. Amen. Let's sing this song as the brothers would come receive the offering this evening.
Oh, time is filled with swift transition. Oh, no.
Amen. Amen. If the Life Tabernacle Choir would start making their way on the platform this evening, they're going to sing a song or two or three or four, of course. Amen. We told them just to have liberty. We're here to have church tonight, so if y'all just come to the platform, let's sing a little more of that. Brother Harry, sing that trusting hymn. Sing that verse. Amen, as they come tonight.
Oh, trust in Him who will not leave you.
Give our singers another hand as you're seated.
Come on and clap your hands for the Lord one more time. Come on, church, you can do better than that. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! How many love the Lord this evening? I said, how many love the Lord this evening? Oh, my. Just so good to be back. Amen. I certainly do appreciate the Lord, amen, for bringing us all the way back to Tennessee. Just one more time. Amen. Amen. Are you holding on tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, my. Amen. Amen. And just because He brought us safe this far, amen, I just feel like telling the Lord that I love Him. Lord, I love You. Can somebody just hold your hand up and tell the Lord that you love Him tonight? Come on, tell the Lord that you love Him. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. You made a way when there was no way, Lord. I'm grateful. Yeah. To You. You opened up. Closing my faith, Lord, I'm grateful.
Yes,
to You. Come on and put your hands together if you're grateful. Walk me through this. through this.
Brought me through this.
Come on, tell the Lord you brought me through that. If I want to tell him that I love you. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Can somebody help me saying, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
I worship.
I worship and adore you.
Lord, I want to tell you.
I just want to tell you.
Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love you more than anything.
Come on, somebody. Come on. Come on, somebody say, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
If I worship.
I worship and adore you.
Lord, I want to tell you.
Just want to tell you.
I love you more.
Lord, I love you.
fire. Somebody lift your hands right now. You reign on the throne. I love you more than anything, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Just in case the white folks think they're going to be in charge of the music department in heaven, I just kind of doubt it, don't you? Amen. Won't it be something when we all gather together and have... Oh, my. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So happy to be together tonight. So appreciate Brother Fred and so many of the saints coming to be with us, and we just come to have church, didn't we? Praise the Lord. And they come with needs in your life, and you believe that God is able to take care of those needs, your desires, whatever you have need of. We just ask Brother Fred if he'll come, just obey the Lord, whatever the Lord's put on his heart. You preaching? All right, he's preaching. The reason I ask him that, because Brother Chisholm was supposed to be preaching tonight, and Brother Chisholm hadn't got here yet. He was caught up in traffic, so I'm just trying to make sure. So. That's why he's looking. All right. Amen. God bless you, buddy. Give my dear friend a hand.
I want to do a little bit of Jamaica song. And when I talk about Jamaica, you're going to be surprised that Brother Fred can sing Jamaica song. How many got your mind made up? Come on, Josh and y'all guys, and help me through it. But Elijah, come get me through this. I got my mind made up. And I won't turn back. Matter of fact, I can't turn back. Don't have a desire to turn back. I gotta keep pressing on. How many gonna keep pressing on? Hallelujah.
I got my mind. Go ahead, Pastor.
I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, for I'm going to see my Jesus someday. I got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, for I'm going to see my Jesus someday.
When they say we can't make it, we make it.
Yes, sir.
And if we fall down, we get up. Yes, and if we're going through something, we go through it. Yes, we won't complain. We won't back down. We are the undefeated. We have a ministry that prepared us for this hour. A Gentile bride with a ministry prepared to defeat our enemy.
Come on, Pastor.
Just in case you don't know your enemy, it's yourself. That old house you live in is worn against your victory. But tonight you got victory over your enemy. Oh, wretched man, why am I got victory over him tonight? Anybody got victory tonight?
Yes, sir!
Thank be to God. I love you. I'm not going to sing anymore. Time to go to the word of the Lord. I love him with all my heart. I appreciate Brother Donnie for allowing us to be in his house tonight. Because he's the pastor of this church. It's his house. And it's good to be in his house. It's good to see his wife again. The deacons and all my friends. God bless you. It's a pleasure being here with you tonight. I know I didn't give those brothers my text, so I'll give it to you. And let's see what the Lord will do with it. I want to speak on God's great mystery. And my text is, hallelujah, you know, some the redeemable. God's great plan. No, I'm going to keep it on. If I take it off, I'll have to run. When you get in the presence of the Holy Spirit and all these great people, I'll have to run. So I better keep this on to keep me tame a little bit. So God bless each and every one of you. And I just want to go to the book of Genesis because that's kind of sort of where it got started. Well, at least that's where Moses started it at. But that wasn't where it actually started. It actually started in heaven. Can you say amen? And so Moses couldn't write about it. He had to wait till he got on earth, and God allowed him to write a few things. But some trouble started in heaven, and God had to boot somebody out. Is that right? So I'll just start in Genesis where our prophet Moses picked up and wrote the things that he saw and what God revealed to him for his day. And I, you know, I'm gonna do this, and I don't know how it's, I'm gonna pray first, and I'm gonna read a verse or two and let you be seated. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come into your beautiful house that you built for us to worship in. Not Happy Valley, but a house that you decided to place your name in, Lord. God's only provided place, the heart of a man and a woman. Lord, I thank you tonight for it. I ask that you forgive me for my thoughts and our sins and our failures, Lord, and set me aside and let that voice from that other dimension, that voice from the supernatural come down and speak to your bride tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Genesis chapter 1. I'm just going to read a verse or two and let you be seated in there. I'm going to stay in Genesis for a reason. And I want to start right here. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Can the church say amen? Amen. You might be seated. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female. God had a plan. Can you say amen? Now I want to go to Genesis 2. Genesis 2 and verse 6 and 7, if you'll go with me. But there went up a mist from the earth and the water, the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Is that the word? We're dealing with the written word right now. Is that all right? Now, first thing God done, he kicks Lucifer out of heaven. Lucifer makes a proclamation. I'll get you for this. I'll get you for this. You kick me out, but I will get you for this. And Lucifer comes down in the garden of God. He invades God's garden. And God had a son named Adam. Talk on the image of God. Now, the image of God was that spirit man that God made called Adam. The flesh is not the image of God. Can you say amen? So then God placed Adam in the garden in flesh. And Adam looked around and didn't see anything that resembles to fit his heart. Adam was still lonely, but God had a master plan. Everything I tell you tonight is part of a plan that God did before the foundation of the world. We're just living out the plan. I hope you're part of the master's plan. Some ain't even in the plan. Can you say amen? I'll let you read it. Brother Brown said some wasn't even written in no book. So they're not part of the plan at all. So then Adam roamed around in the garden for a little while, and he began to name over 5,000 species or more. And each one of them he gave name because he captured the mind of God. Adam didn't name them off his thinking. He named them off the thoughts of God. He named the bear. He named the lion. He named the fish. Everything that come to him, come in his presence, he caught it. And he said, I think I'll name you this. And I'll name you this. And I'll name you that. And God was pleased in the names. And then when Adam finished naming all the creatures of the earth and the fowls of the air, he looked around and he found nothing that stirred him up. He saw Mr. and Mrs. Bear, Mr. and Mrs. Lion, and the great eagle and his missus, and that just didn't move him. But there was a yearning on the inside. There was a burning on the inside. Adam wanted his mate. The only thing he was doing is expressing what God was expressing. He was acting like his father. He was thinking like his father. Like his father wanted family, he wanted family. Then God come down and finds his son lonely. And walked around in the garden. Now you know he gave him dominion over everything. Adam could tell the eagle. The brother Adam says that a big great eagle would come down sometime in the cool of the day. And Adam would be walking out and he'd fly around and get on Adam's shoulder and coo with Adam. But the eagle just didn't satisfy Adam. So his father put him into a deep sleep. Rocked him to sleep just for a moment of time. And snatched the rib out of him from under his heart. And out of that rib he made a woman. He took the masculine spirit and left it in Adam. He takes the feminine spirit and he puts in this body of flesh that he raised up and he calls it woman. Now there was no trouble until the woman was made. Now the trouble gets started when this beautiful creature is made. Now I'm going to tell you in all the creation, when the male was made handsome than anything in the garden. But when God made this creature, she exceeded man's expectation. She was so beautiful that she spellbound Adam. When God brought her before him, he looked at her and says, oh my, I'm just paraphrasing, my, look what God done for me. The beautiful thing he ever saw in his life. Then God brought him to him and he said, now this is bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. And ye shall be one. And God gave him his wife. Now you got to remember that God already prophesied that somebody was going to replenish the earth. That was in his plan. Somebody was going to have children. It was in his plan. But that old big-eared devil. Can I talk about the devil for a minute? That old big-eared lion Slewfoot was laying around somewhere in the garden setting traps. But there was one thing he couldn't do. He couldn't touch that son of God. That son of God had the mind of Christ. That son of God was an amateur God. He ruled everything. Because that was part of God's great master plan. And you know, Satan being up in heaven, being God's right-hand man, he knew God was up to something, but he didn't know what God was up to. He wanted to create some more problems. He thought, because he took a crowd up in heaven and brought down with him, he thought he could mess with God's garden. Hello? But everybody he think he gonna get, he ain't gonna get. Everybody he lay hands on to, he can't hold on to. Everybody think he going to hell, ain't going to hell. God got some redeemable people. God got some people that can be restored, can be brought back to the original. Can the church say amen? And in that great garden, it was a beautiful garden with flowers and no sin, no sickness, no sorrow, no death, no pain, no nothing. Everything was perfect in the eyes of God. And then this woman walked around and Adam told her something. He said, I got one thing I want to tell you. God told me we can fellowship with every animal. We can fellowship with all the trees and we can do this and we can do that. But there's one tree. There's one tree in this garden we should have nothing to do with. You know, when you tell somebody to do something, they always do the opposite. They got to try to find out why God don't want you to do that. You can tell your children to do something, they want to test the waters. And you know, that's part of the plan. Sometimes he wants you to test the waters. He'll put you in a position and he'll give you a desire where you can go out there so he can show the devil I can bring you back. Knowing that Eve was going to do it, knowing that Eve was going to mess up, knowing that Eve was going to foul things up, he'd already had that in the plan, but he knew she was redeemable. Now, it didn't look like she was redeemable. And if it would have been up to God, she probably wouldn't have been redeemable. But God, Brother Man said, God told Adam he shouldn't even took her back. The prophet said she should have been burnt with the serpent. But Adam had such a strong love. He loved this female so much. So regardless of what she done, he'd go out there and get her. Jesus loved you so much. He left the portions of glory. Hallelujah. Somebody better say amen here before I lose my mind. He left the portions of glory. Come down and took your place. So right there in the garden, Adam walks around and tells Eve, he tells Eve what's going on. So Adam goes out there and he fellowships with his animals. And as time began to go, now I'm going to tell you something. Time had not really started yet. You message believers, you message readers, or you Bible believers, or whatever believer you are, there was a time there was no time. Time didn't start until sin intervened. So there was in a garden of eternity, walking around in fleshly bodies. Come on, somebody. If you study, you wouldn't have to be looking at Donnie, you can look at me. Brother Branham said there was a time that there wasn't no sin there, and it was in bodies, but there wasn't time bodies yet. They're walking around in a realm of eternity, and Satan set a plot. He couldn't get to Adam because Adam was too much like God. Now, if he could have got to Adam, Adam would have been a homo. If he could have got to Adam, Adam would have been a gay man. But he couldn't get to Adam because Adam didn't like men. Adam had to spread him to like a woman. There's something wrong with you if you like a man and you're a man. There's something wrong with you when you can kiss a man and you're a man. Because Adam wouldn't kiss that devil. Adam wasn't fellowship with that devil. He stayed away from that serpent. But Adam went on a spiritual work for God to fellowship with his animals. And they come up to the water and they all talk with Adam. And the cooler day, you know, God visit Adam, and Adam would go visit animals. He'd leave Miss Eve, Miss Woman, at the house. And Brother Man said, while he wandered off, the serpent decided to go knock on his door. Brother Man said, you got to watch that slicker. When you leave here, come through the back door. You got on overalls, you have on a nice suit, smiling at your lady the whole time. Now, Eve wasn't supposed to listen to him. She made a fatal mistake, not before she got impregnated, but by stopping and listening to that old devil. She set the plan in motion. I'm going to tell you, the plan didn't break in heaven. The plan broke on earth. Oh, he got kicked out. But the plan started breaking. When Eve did what she done, things started unfolding in. The Bible started breaking open. Scripture started being written. Everything was in God's mind. Started saying, oh, God said, now I'm going to be a healer. Now I'm going to be a savior. And Lucifer didn't know it, but I used him to bring out my attributes. My daughter done failed. And look just like Bible upset. Adam! Let me take you another place right quick where you won't miss the story. Chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Look a little bit better than the rest of them. A little smarter. A little more intelligent, you know. The more something of the beast field that the Lord God had made. And he says unto the woman, yea, God has said, ye should not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, she shouldn't have never talked. See what she done? Adam said, don't fellowship. But she got bold, she stopped and talked. Now I want to tell you something. He just didn't get her to start with. She didn't talk the first day. She didn't talk to somebody. I don't know what day he got her. All I know, he got her. He got her to talking. And when he got her talking, he got her eyes off the word. Or off the promise. And when this world can get your eyes off the word, you finna get in trouble. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you should not eat of it. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Don't talk, don't touch, don't fellowship. Now that sounds like first grade work. Don't talk, don't touch, don't eat, don't fellowship. No, 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 don't do. A child understands no. Some grown people don't understand no. Is it all right to say amen? But Eve couldn't accept no, don't touch. She wanted to adventure without authority. She wanted to preach her own sermon. She wanted to become a preacher. Even though she was co-equal with Adam in the garden, she wanted to be the head of the house. So she went out there and she flirted. Now I'm going to get right down spiritual dirty with the devil. And y'all hang on for a second. Brother Branham says she played the part of a harlot. She got right down dirty with him. She got off the word of God and she cheated on her husband. And when she cheated on her husband comes home and he picks up another spirit in the house. He detects there's another foul spirit in the house. Something ain't like God left it. A pastor can pick up on things ain't like he left it. If he go out of town and come back, he says, something's wrong in him. Adam come back from out of town and says, woman, I'm home. She's slow coming out. She used to run when he come. But this day she's walking slow. Hey. Hey. I thought you'd be glad to see me. You all right? She done run into a handsome fella that went to science school and took up biology and chemistry and got his PhD degree from hell. Come on, somebody. He got real smart and intelligent on him. Somebody help me preach before I get sick in here. While they're doing all that, he wrapped her and tied her with words. But daddy come home. Strong man come home and said, what happened? What happened? Come on in the house. I got something I want to show you. You got something to show me? Yeah, we need to eat together. We never seen two people eat together. Be spiritual, people. Don't let me go into the whole story. She cheated. She committed adultery on her husband. And the only way she can get help, her husband got to take her responsibility. Boy, it's quiet in him. But it's all right. We'll make it through anyhow. Well, story goes in saying this. Adam said, what have you done? Don't you remember what God told us not to do? Yeah, but God said we're going to die. I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm not dead. Look at me. I'm doing fine. I'm on cloud nine. Now, I'm going to tell you something. She did not seduce Adam. She did not trick Adam. Adam went in it with his eyes wide open and accepted what Eve gave him. If you notice, God was not in the picture at all when Eve fell. Have you ever thought about that? God was not even in the picture at all when Eve fell. Well, I'm like, oh, later for that. I'll just sit out on my throne and won't worry about it. I'll watch my son. I put him over the garden. I made him have dominion. I made him the head. Now I'm going to watch him. Now nobody tricks God. Nobody gets nothing over on God. God had a master plan. God had something he wanted to do. And he couldn't get it done until somebody fell. Well, it looked like he'd have got it done when Eve fell, but that wasn't what he was looking for. He wanted to see how that man would handle the situation. Man, God watching you. Can I make a quick statement? If you don't think God watching you, the prophet of God said, if your wife put on pants in your house, you ought to make her take them off. He just said, woman, make man take them off. He said, man, make your wife take them off. If she bob her hair, make her stop doing it. I always wonder how you make a woman do so. Because women will tell you, now I'm grown just like you. I'm in trouble. I better go a little bit farther. Let's get into the revelation part. I'm in trouble right now. So Adam, he commits this sin and God come down. Church 8 book, page 16, I believe, Brother Brown said God was sitting on the throne and said, a voice come up to heaven. Hey! Your son just fell. And God's going to play like he don't know what's going on. What? What'd you say, Michael? What'd you say, Gabriel? Adam just fell. Excuse me? Yes. Let us go down and take you. Stand right here. This is God talking. Brother Brown said, he said, I'm not sending the angels. I'm not sending no one. I'm going down myself. And God Almighty takes a trip to the garden. This time he don't come to rock him to sleep. This time he come to put a belt on him. Adam! He ain't never had to yell before. But his tone changes. Adam! Where art thou? Come out from behind Adam. What are you doing, Adam? I heard you in the garden and I hid. Why did you hide, Adam? Well, I was naked. And I didn't want you to see me like this. Well, what's that you got on, Adam? Well, I grabbed me and my wife some leaves and when I sewed them up, I got a denomination, a church. I caught a revelation. I can do like I want to do. Somebody say amen. You see how quick man try to run ahead of God and try to fix things for God? You can't fix nothing for God. When you do wrong, just stand still and see what God got to do about it. Now God is actually operating. God is operating in simplicity, acting like he's dumb. God is playing a role like he don't know what's going on and got Lucifer standing back laughing. I told him I'd get him. And you know God know he laughed at him, so God throw a wrench in his little plate. Adam, you got to go. Boy, sitting laughing. What you done is terrible. What your wife has done is terrible. But I got to deal with somebody else first. He walks up to the serpent. What have you done to my people? I like what I seen, so I used it. Well, because you've done this, on thy bed I shall go. And dust thou shalt eat all the days of your life. Get out of my sight. And Bob Brown said, everyone is bone struck over and crawled away in a bush somewhere. God deals with him and come back to Adam and said, Adam, woman, you didn't obey your husband. And the reason you didn't obey your husband, not for doing this, you're going to have children. Not only just have them, but you're going to have them in sorrow and conception. Now I'm going to tell you something. You think God is making this up along the way. God had already had this rope, but he's making the devil think. He's making his enemy think, I'm stupid. He wants to make it look like he just don't know what he's doing. And Lucifer, look at him beating his children up. He's tearing his children up. Adam, and for listening to your wife, you was a pretty strong preacher. What you going to do? You going out in the field. You wasn't satisfied with being in the air conditioner. You weren't satisfied with being the big boss. So now you're going to earn your living by the sweat of your face. And then now watch God get even harder. Get out my garden. Leave now. And Brother Brown said before he left, he grabs a goat, sheepskin and kills the sheep. God was the first murderer. The first death God kills sheep. He rips the life out of it. Pulls the skin off and it's hot with blood. And it lays it on Adam and Eve. And it says, leave. And said, there, Brother Man, boy, he described it on his spirit so beautiful. He said, watch Adam and Eve walking. And that skin flapping on them. And the blood dripping down them. And they walk slowly out of the garden. And as they're walking, you can feel God's love and compassion coming down like a funnel. Coming down through that garden. It hurt him so bad watching his children leave. He said, Adam! Wait one moment. Now he gonna hit the devil tonight. He finna rock Satan real good. He thought God didn't love Adam and Eve no more. He turns around and said, Adam, I know I told you and Eve you gotta leave, but I'm gonna make a way for you to return. Not only am I gonna make a way, I've already made a way. You might be leaving the garden, but you'll be back. You know what he did? He says something that the devil caught. Adam, your seed, the seed of the woman, is going to bruise the head of the serpent. Another one's coming. Besides Adam, there will be another seed going to try to bruise my head. Out of the garden to go. They have children, and Lucifer raises up his old no good son called Cain. Y'all didn't know, but he was pregnant while this was being kicked out. She had two seeds in him. A seed of the serpent and a seed of Adam. One predestinated and one unsavable. Both of them, that was God's master. Now you watch God. He always work with enemy righteousness. Enemy righteousness. Abel was born, Cain's born. Now here they is in the garden, not in the garden, but on the outside of the garden. I want y'all to listen. This is, Brother Branham is a powerful prophet. I want that to go all over the world. William Branham is God's powerful prophet. He makes a statement in a sermon that blows my mind. He said, I want you to watch Cain and Abel both build altars. Watch both of them go to church. Watch both of them stack things up exactly like the scripture says. You know, they build an altar. They go to church. They kneel down. They pray. And in fact, Cain did it a little bit better. If you notice, Cain looked a little bit better. Cain was a little bit smarter. Abel was just an old man that got in the field and planted tomatoes and planted taters and had some pretty sheep, and you know, and then Cain had this big old garden full of all kind of fruits and big pretty flowers. But God spoke one day, bring me your best offering. I'm going to say something else. Now, this is going to shock you. And a lot of people don't like to hear this. Brother Brown, if you don't come to church and give him 1%, you cheat on God. He said, if you don't give him the highest praise, you cheat on God. I'm reading that to you. Brother Brown said, you're supposed to give God 100% when you come in church. If you ain't giving him 100%, you are robbing God. I often ask my church, how many of y'all giving him 100%? Some of them sleep. That's certainly 100%. Some of them playing with the baby. That's certainly 100%. You don't have to scream out loud, but you can give them a wave offering. You can nod your head around it to let him know, Lord, when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Well, hallelujah. Time is going by real fast now. They done grown, now they're standing at the gate of the garden and don't even know where the flames of sword and everything at. And it goes, but rest of it, standing right toward it. Where God let his family go out there, but nobody ain't going in there now because God got that garden. But his brother said, he literally stands at the gate of it, and God comes down. And they build the altar, and Abel comes dragging a sheep, blood flying everywhere. He all blooded up, looking nasty, blood flying everywhere, flying on the altar, flying on the stroll, just flying everywhere. And he walks before God and lay that blood at the altar. My God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for your grace, Jehovah. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, Jehovah. And blood that way. And God smiles at him. Chance looks and says, look at this mess. Blood all over the place. And blood it up in my beautiful altar messed up. And he go gets a big old bunch of flowers. The prophet said he did it from his heart. Brother Brown said he was a true worshiper. Believed in what he was doing just as much as you believe in what you're doing. Tell me God ain't got a master plan. You tell me God don't know what he's doing, I'll tell you you're crazy. He wants something, he lays that stuff there, and then God looks at it. No, don't want that. Can't have that. I don't want that. Why? Look at this knot here talking to God. Why? You took Abel's, why not mine? Abel had a revelation. Abel had a revelation on what to give God. But Ransom, that's what's wrong with people today. They don't have a revelation on how and what to give God. If you don't know what to give God, then you don't really know how to worship God. Then he walks in and then God refuses him. And then God tells him, if you do like your brother. Wait. Excuse me for walking. Wait. I'm too old to jump like I used to. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me I got to act like she act? I got to do what he doing? You don't see jealousy coming up? Y'all ain't spiritual yet? I'm throwing off on the man. I got to act like he act? I got to run my house like he run his house? Well, if you want me to accept you, you going to do it. Well, I guess you won't have to help me. The Bible says his countenance got rotten. Now, God ain't no hypocrite and God ain't no backbiter. God told him to face. You know something, son? Your countenance, you ain't right. Why are you rough with me? God didn't tell his neighbor. God didn't tell. He told him to his face. You know what's your problem? You jealous. I gave you the opportunity of eternal life. and you allow jealousy to rob you. But you see, God had already knew that. God already knew that he had a seed and a rotten seed. Somebody help me preach before I lose my mind. Then they leave there, and the jealousy is pumping now. And look, jealousy don't start once you get on you. If God don't take off, you'll do some dangerous stuff. You see how people get jealous in church and run and talk about you? Why don't you tell me what you have to tell me before you leave? Be a man, don't be a mouse. If you think I'm so bad, tell me in my face. You don't think I'm a good pastor? Say, I don't like your pastor no more. Don't wait to get on TV, on television, on radio to talk about me and hide your stone. Hit me in the face with the stone. He waits till his brother get out in the field. Gets behind his back. Gets a big rock. And busts his brain out. It went from jealousy to murder. Now he's a murderer. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. Now he kills his brother. His dad is a big liar. Now we got murder. Now y'all catch it up. We got murder. We got jealousy. We got deceit. We got lying, all wrapped around God's plan, what he's doing. God said, look at my plan unfolding. It looks like things are going rotten, but it's a blessing. Abel's dead. Now Satan laughed. Stop that. Stop that dead track. There's near no sin. But the Bible says God replaces Abel with self. Another troublemaker. I'm getting out of there. I'll quickly get out of your way. Another troublemaker is born. Abel. I wonder why they named him Abel. Because Eve wasn't able to save herself, so God put an Abel in her. God had already had a plan. I love his master plan, and if you're in it, on the right side of the ocean, you're in pretty good shape. Time began to progress. Time's slipping away now. Eternity's gradually slipping away. Everything's dealing in time. I mean, you got to remember, there wasn't no gray hair. I know you remember me a long time ago. Remember I didn't have no gray?
Yeah, I remember.
It's got me now. Yes, sir. Remember I didn't have no pop belly? Got me fat now. Time puts trouble on your back. I remember when you had hair on your head. Don't feel bad. I got a little bit loud in my head, too. Don't worry about it. I lost a few teeth along the way, too. But Brother Banner said, when you start losing things, there's a sign that you're coming to life. Something has to die in order for something to live. So if you're dying, get ready to live again. So now we're at the junction of time now that everything's going bad. And it looks like God's losing every battle. He raised up a son of God and he's getting knocked down. He raised up a son of God and knocked down. He raised up a Moses. Moses get mad and break a man's neck. And the devil laughed. He's supposed to be a prophet and he's killing people. Oh, Satan making things look bad. He's trying to make us disgraceful. Then he get a bunch of children to lead Egypt land, shouting and praising God, and then get on the outside of the desert and start cussing at Moses. That's right. You brought us out here to die. You brought us out here to die. But all of them wasn't seeds of God. God's got a plan. And God was getting ready to kill them all. And Moses said, if you kill them, you got to take me. Moses was acting like Christ. Moses was playing the role of a redeemer. Just acting like his father. Well, Moses gets to the point now that they started not listening to him. Moses, the Bible said now Moses got old, but his body never abated him. Yeah. He looked good right at an old age. Yeah. He wasn't like me, he still looked good. But they kept cutting up, and Moses wanted to kill. And God said, okay, keep walking. You just keep walking. Down the road, by and by, the earth opened up. Swallowed up a crowd of them. Kill up a God gonna get you one way or the other. Amen. You can run, but you cannot hide. You can play church, but you'll be found out. God knows his children. I said, God knows his children, and they will not be deceived. Can I keep preaching? Well, by and by, they get right up to the toilet, get ready to cross over. And I skip some, I'm going to tell some. The water opened up before them people. Yeah.
They seen God in the supernatural. Oh, yeah. Well, that ain't too supernatural. Let me tell you something greater than that. He opens up the water. Right. And Brother Man says, when you blow the water through, the ground gets hard as cement. That's right. The wheels and the wagons and stuff, they get to run. And yes, he did. A beautiful highway. Yeah. Right down the middle of the river. Right. And Pharaoh and his army thought they'd take off behind him. Big mistake. Very, very big mistake. They get down there, and the children of Israel get on the other side, and God let Pharaoh's army get right in the middle of the water. Then he tells Remember, would you do me a favor? Remember said, yes, sir. How about release that water I told you to pull outside? Remember said, I'll gladly do it. Remember turned loose the water, and every one of them drowning in the ocean. God got every unbeliever that he intended to get to start with. If God got a mark on you, he gonna get you. You may go 10 days, you may go 100 years, but if he got a mark on you, he's gonna get you. Yeah. Then went from that to Joshua, and then Joshua had a group. And Joshua had a young man that loved God with all his heart. He was redeemable. He was savable. He was a royal seed. His name was Caleb. And anything Joshua said, do it wasn't too hard for him. From being a spy to fighting great battles and winning battles and taking land, Melchites, Jehoshaphat, or whatever they'll call them, any battle he wanted, they just took. But one day he said, you remember Moses told us, Joshua, when this frontier and this battle is over with, there's a mountain called Mount Horeb. When it's over with, I want that mountain. Well, when it got over with and the battle ceased and they began to rest a little bit, he runs up to Joshua and said, Joshua, you remember what I told you? Joshua, what is that? You made me a promise. When this battle was over, give me my mountain. You think God forgot about that? God gave him his mountain. God ain't forgot he promised us a body change. God ain't forgot he told us we have a new body. Just keep pushing. One day you will get your new body. And then went with the Father. Can I go just a little bit more, Father? Now I want you somebody to turn to the book of Job, chapter 1. I'm going to show you right now. I believe in predestination. Yes, I believe in foreknowledge. I believe in the mind of God with everything in me. I'd like for somebody to go to the book of Job, chapter 1, just for a quickie. If they can put it up right there. I want you to listen what happened to a man that wasn't bothering anybody. Now I'm going to show you something. Y'all think the devil's doing all this. But the devil ain't doing nothing. If he had been doing it in the city, have not the Lord done it. Has anybody got Job yet? Because I'm not a good reader. I'm too slow about it. You got it, Brother Daniel? Read Job 1 and 1.
There was a man in the land of Uz.
What was his name?
Whose name was Job.
Y'all got his name?
Amen.
If you got his name, say amen.
Amen.
All right, read on, Brother Daniel.
And that man was perfect and upright.
What? How was he?
Perfect.
He was perfect, upright, and a man that endured evil and feared God. Yeah. How much more can you ask for that? Brother, I know exactly where I'm going at. I said Job was perfect,
yes,
and he feared God, and he minded his business.
Amen. Amen.
Read on, Brother Dan. I'm going to show you what happens to a man that prays all the time. And read his Bible.
They were born into him seven
sons. Now look, give him children. Give him children. He's blessing him.
His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 cattle.
Look at it. It's blessing him.
Come on with it. And a very great household.
A household.
So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East.
Is he blessed?
Amen.
Is he blessed?
Amen.
That's God's plan. But sometimes God will bless you to break you. Sometimes God will let you see riches to make you poor. Sometimes he'll let you see the Hall of Fame to go through the Hall of Critics. Well, Job was getting ready to see something he ain't never seen before. Job was getting ready to taste something he never tasted before. But that was part of the master's plan. Read, Brother Danny.
And his sons went and feasted in their houses.
Now let me tell you something. You got children that's feasting and ain't doing right. Please pray.
Amen.
Don't throw them away.
Amen.
Don't put them out.
Amen.
Pray with them. Because through your prayers, God can change things.
Amen.
If you got a daughter out there in the world, don't stop praying. God still hears prayers. If you got grandchildren out there, God still hear prayers. If you got a sick body, God still hear prayers. This is just part of the master's plan. Can somebody say amen in here? I won't allow you to go to sleep. I won't allow you to be quiet. It's time to wake up and give God some praise in here.
I will not allow you to play church. If you got seed, recognize your position. Recognize your joy. Recognize your standard. Know who you are. So you might not understand why I'm so crazy. Let me tell you why. There was a man named Daniel. On the other side of the promise, there was a seed of God that was redeemable. That was a part of God's master plan. You hold your bread there. Let me show these people something. Daniel didn't have no help. He went to church. He didn't have nobody to help him out. He didn't have nobody to amen with him. But he loved the God so much. When he go to church, people would hear him praising him. People would talk about how he lifted up the name of God. Brother Brandon said the whole time he was in captivity, he kept the victory. We ain't no captivity. We ain't no prison. We're free. We ought to be able to praise the Lord. Well, while I'm losing my mind, let me tell you something else. There were three more boys on the other side of the problem. Chad Wright and Meshach and Abednego. They ain't had nobody to help them out. They was all alone. But when the times got tough and the going got rough, they kept on praising God. And the king told him, said, y'all got to worship an image. And that image name was Belshazzar, I think. And it was the image of Daniel because he was a holy man. But them boys wouldn't worship no man. And we ain't going to worship Brother Branham. We believe Brother Branham's a man of God. But we're not going to worship images. We're not going to worship a man. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King of Kings. Jesus is our everything. When you going to realize who your king is? We shouldn't be in a war. This bride shouldn't be in a war fussing about who Brother Branham is. Some of you fussing about who Brother Branham is don't know who you is yet. You trying to make him God and you don't even know whether you're a Christian yet or not. Somebody say amen in here. Well, they got put up under pressure. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The soldiers throw them in the fire furnace. You know, the fire was so hot that when they were trying to throw me, they got burned up. But they didn't have to force them boys. They went in the name of the Lord. While they was going in, they wasn't crying. They was praising the Lord. We need to praise the Lord when we're in pressure. We need to praise the Lord when our bills are due. We need to praise the Lord when our children are sick. We need to praise the Lord when we don't know what to do. We need to get a praise back in the house of the Lord. I said we need praise back in the house of the Lord. I said we need praise in the house of the Lord. We need praise in the house of the Lord. Our churches are dying. Our people are quitting. But I tell you, raise up and give praise to the Lord. Come back where you have. Ask God to give you your joy back. Ask God to wake you up. It ain't no time to die. It's a time to live. We're getting ready to go in a rapture. We're sitting around waiting. Let's get back on fire for the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Stretch these awakened bones. Stretch these awakened arms, Lord. Give me woke up for another revival. My next revival is in the sky where I go to the wedding supper. But I want to make some noise while I'm down here. I said, I want to make some noise while I'm down here. I want the devil to know that I'm a holy man. I want the devil to know I'm a righteous man. I want the devil to know that I believe this message. I want the devil to know that I believe in healing. I believe in the captive being set free. I believe in the eyes of the blind being opened. I believe in the lame made to walk again. I believe this message can do anything. I believe in the third pull. I believe in the opening of the seals. I believe in the ministry of the prophet. I, Fred Mullen, believe in the Lord Jesus. I, Fred Mullen, stand for the liberty of the word. I stand for the power of the word, and you can get back to the word, you will have victory in your life. We act like we Baptists and Methodists and Pentecost. We're not that. We are the bride. We are Miss Jesus, the wife of the Almighty God. Married to royalty, married to deity. He went so far as calling you a super church, a super race, a bride that's unstoppable, can't be stopped. Got Satan's ass in this last day. That was the master's plan, to raise up a lady that would not be defeated. Job couldn't be defeated. So God said, you know what? I'm going to send some trouble to his house. Now his kids went to a party. You know how our kids will go out and party, mix up with the world, and go to ball games and get in that cigarette smoke and race car trash and cussing around us and adultery all around us, naked women, half script walking down, high heels, haircut, and the Son of God's trying to sit on the beaches. You can't sit on the beach with the Holy Ghost. A Son of God can't go to the beach. This time of the year, Son of God ain't got no business on the beach. The beach too strong for me. The beach got too much trouble for me. I'd rather go to the beach in my bedroom in my shower. But I'm not going on the beach where the sun's shining and ladies walking around with no clothes on. When they go to the mall naked, I go back home. Come on, somebody. And their husband's so stupid, he'll take them out there and let men lust after them, showing he's a slack man. Is that all right? I'm going to tell the truth. You don't amen no how. I preach where nobody would say amen. I kept on preaching it out. I believe God is a God of power. If you got sickness in your body, if you praise the Lord, he'll heal you in turn. Did you know Brother Branham said about this ministry? He said, this ministry, you don't need to come to the altar. He said, you just need to have faith in God. The third pull will heal you in your seat. The third pull in number, the opening of the word, a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The token in number, the Holy Ghost in the heart of a believer. We use these titles, we need these terms, but the fact of the matter is, it's Jesus. The whole mystery is Jesus in a nutshell. We go so far that we make people think, well, what happened to Jesus? This message is Jesus. Matter of fact, I don't even have to say message no more. I can say Jesus. Message believers ought to know who Jesus is anyway. God is wife down here and you don't even recognize it. I'm going to say it again. God is wife down here and you don't even recognize it. There are a lot of people walk around, bump shoulders with God's wife and don't even know it. We go in a restaurant, sit down and eat, God's wife, and they have service and don't know we keeping them with a job. Let me tell you something, church, God's got a plan. I'm going to tell you something. There was a man, and he probably won't never hear this unless I have him to put the tape on. He owns restaurants, two or three restaurants in South Carolina, and he had a drinking problem. I've been eating there for many years, and he never recognized me too much as a preacher. He just always called me friend. But he got to the point he couldn't quit drinking, and his dad was going to strip him of his restaurants and make him nothing. I was sitting in the restaurant, and the doctors couldn't break it. He leaned over to me. He was a white man. He leaned over to me for everybody. He said, Rev, I need help. For the first time, he called me Rev. He said, I heard that you pray for people and God heal them. I heard quite a bit about you in Florence. Would you ask God to make me stop drinking? Now, I want you to listen to this. This is this truth. The restaurant was filled up. Me, Josh, and Beatrice was there that day. He stands up in the middle of the restaurant and puts his hands up in there to see what I'd be shaking. I stopped the whole restaurant. Bow your heads. We're going to pray for my brother. I laid hands on him, and 12 months from the day, he's alcohol free. God's got a plan. I want to tell you, God's got a master plan. He'll make sinners come to you. His son's brain exploded. How many know that to be true? Raise your hand. His son's brain exploded with an aneurysm. I wasn't there, but he said, call the preacher. Somebody said, what's his name? He said, his name Fred Mullins, a little short man. He got an afro. If you call him, he'll come to me. Me and my wife go to the restaurant. I says, what's wrong? He said, I know you'd want to know, but my son is dying in Charleston. And I know if you pray, things will change. You think I joked? I said, ooh, I got power. I ain't got no power. I can't heal nobody. I said, you remember one thing. You have not because you ask not. I come back to the church. I don't know who God heard. I won't say he heard my prayers. I don't know who prayers he heard. But I know Life Tabernacle prayed. We joined together and we prayed a prayer of healing power. The next day he called me and said, Fred, my son has made a turn for the best. He said he got control of the bleeding. They got hold to the burnt part in his head, and they clothed it up and they said, give him a couple of weeks, we'll see how he's doing. 2 days later, they said they're sending him home. Not a couple, his, for some reason or other, it's healing up. All the spasms and all the things that was deteriorating is healing on its own. You know why? God's a healer. You don't think God got a plan? Well, let me tell you something else about my God. Right in the same restaurant, a woman fell with cancer. Is that right, church?
Amen.
A woman fell in this restaurant with cancer, and the doctor says, you got 6 months to live. I said, doctor, don't put time on your life.
That's right.
She stood up in the restaurant with tears in her eyes. She said, I heard about what you do, but Rob, I'll call him because nobody here don't know Rob, son, and what God done for Rob. Said, would you please ask God to take this cancer? It done ate both her breasts on the inside up. She said, I'm dying with cancer right on into my lungs. So help me, God. She was on the final stage of life. I laid my hands on her shoulder because I couldn't put my hand on her breast. I said, dear God, here stands a woman that don't even know William Branham is your prophet. Here stands a woman that don't even understand what I believe, but she believes if I lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. In 6 months, she is in remission. She don't even take medicine no more. I'm telling you that this message is the Lord Jesus Christ. This message is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you got a need right now, he's a right now God. Well, I believe it. I don't know what somebody need. I don't know why God changed it. I don't know whether you got a need in here. I don't know what somebody going through something, but I know you don't have to go through it no more. I know my God can heal you right now. I know my God can give you the Holy Ghost right now. Because God's got a plan, and when it don't look like it's working anyhow. Now, you may have to look this up, because people are going to ask you about this one. This is one in the Bible I'm going to tell you about that Brother Branham told me about. Brother Branham sat down and told me about this. I sat down with Brother Branham in a sermon. He told me this. Brother Branham said, Brother Fred, I want to tell you something. I said, what's that, sir? I'm paraphrasing. Don't get crazy on me. He said, you remember when Moses was in the desert? I said, yes, sir. He said, you remember when God told Moses to strike the rock? Speak to it, but then he told him to strike it too. You go back and read about it. He told him to strike it. Well, Moses spoke to it a couple times and it wouldn't give him the water. He got angry and he struck it. But the man said, when he struck it, he hit it. And when he did, he said, the water come gushing out. He said, it gushed out so big till it covered the whole desert. He said, it covered the whole desert until it was like an ocean. Where all that water come from? I guess you'll have to ask God when you get there. All I know, when Moses hit it, water was everywhere. You know why? Because God is God. Oh, I know it's hard to say amen, but I'll find it and send it back to you. I read it to my church and let them see it. Brother, how many remember me reading the quote to you? Brother Rand said, water covered that desert. Said he stopped me complaining. They had plenty of water. When they got plenty of water, they wanted bread. When they got bread, they wanted meat. They never will satisfy. You know you can't satisfy people today. You give them a little bread, you give them a little meat, you give them water, and they still will call you the devil. Jesus told us that John come eating or drinking, and you call him a devil. I come eating and drinking, you call me a devil. I need to know what do y'all want. Brother Manor preached to the rich, and he preached to the poor. And some of y'all still call him a devil. What do you want? When God do so much in such a unique way to show that he can save anybody. He took a nobody with a seventh grade education and made him out of somebody that led millions to Jesus Christ. I don't know when your candle got lit. I don't know the first time you come to this message. I don't know what it done to you. But I want to tell you what it done to me.
That's right.
It set me on fire. Yes, my wife and me have been married 42 years. I've been in the message 43 years. That man even known me since I was a teenager. I've not lost my fire. Now it's greater now. I'm 61. I'll be 62 in a few more months. And I feel better about this message now than I do then. Don't try to hold me down. Don't try to shut me up. Don't try to quiet me up. This message is my everything. It is my life. And if you feel like quitting, don't do it. If you feel like it won't help you, change your mind. Don't pay people attention. Go to God. He'll work it out. And I promise. I love it. I know we got to go home. And I know I ain't told y'all about Job, but you know what turned out.
That's right.
The devil beat Job up and then made his wife. Telling me how to stink breath. His body stink. The best thing he ever had, told him, curse God and die. Took everything he had. God took everything to give him more back. If you lost something and you're living for Jesus, hold on a little while longer. He got something better for you. I got grandchildren in here that's received the Holy Ghost. The Lord gave me back my daughter some years back. For many years I cried and I watched her life spin. I had Brother Donnie to pray, I had brothers to pray. I said, Lord, I got one daughter and I don't want you to take her from me. And tonight God gave me my daughter back. My sons, they struggled trying to stay with this message, and the devil did everything to pull them out, and now they're stronger today than they ever been. All I can tell you, if you pray, you pay your tithes and offerings, you be real to God and true to God in your Bible reading, you come to church when you don't feel like it. I said come when you don't feel like it. Come when nobody else won't come. And wave your hand when nobody else wave your hand. And when you get in trouble, you'll find out he'll be there on time. Is it all that fight Pentecost to y'all? I said, I tell you, if you ever need him, he's always there on time. He's a doctor that never lost a patient. He's a lawyer that never lost a case. He'll be there all the time if you'll trust him. I tell you now. Hallelujah. This message is the truth. My closing argument to the devil, I want him to know this, and I'm going to read a statement from Brother Branham. Let me tell you, this age is a rough age to live in. We got a Job, we got a Moses, we got a David that went out and cheated on his wife and killed his partner, and it looked like David wasn't redeemable, but he was a redeemable seed. We got an Abraham that messed up. The closest thing to Christ was Joseph, and a woman tried to get him, and he tore his coat off and he ran. All the other Bible men of God, they went through a tragedy, and the devil laughed at Jesus and said, I told you I can get them. He had a Jonah that was hard-headed. Hallelujah. He had a Daniel that was an adulteress. He had a Solomon that couldn't keep his hand off women. And all these men that had these mars in their body, the devil thought they was going to hell. And when he went up before God to bring a trial against him, God said they never done it. God said they never. All the way through the Old Testament, when the devil tried to put him in hell, and when the devil told God they're no good, God said, I don't remember nothing about it. Matter of fact, he wasn't even recorded in the New Testament how bad they was. But now, come the 20th century. God sends us a 20th century prophet with a message for the age. And by God, how we made a mess. Satan has run us raggedy. Satan has beat some of us down till we're barely hanging on. Some of us can hardly say amen. Some of the ministries going back in the world. Some of the ministries have got double married. Some of the deacons have been married three times and the devil's looking at God laughing. They're falling by the thousands. He's telling God, I told you wouldn't have a bride. He's beating everything he can. He's tearing trees down. He's tearing churches apart. And he's laughing, I told God I'd get the best of him. But little did he know, God had a little seed. Hallelujah. God had a little seed planted in the heart of a little man. Let me tell you about some of them no good people that Satan beat up. I was one of them. I was wretched and undone, full of sin and so corrupt. But God reached way down when I couldn't reach up, and he picked me up, and he put my feet on a solid rock, And I'm glad tonight I can tell you I'm here to stay and I ain't going no way. Somebody say amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. In the trial, somebody went to God and said, look, Fred Muller done stumbled. Donnie Reagan been called all kind of names. He's losing people too. Fred Muller's just losing them. All those great men of God that used to be good, and they put a tape out and showed the rugged ministers of the ages. My name, Brother Donnie's name, Brother Gibbs, and everyone come across the street and the devil looks at them. They might be looking good now, but I'll get them. If I don't get them with women, I'll get them with money. If I don't get them with money, I'll get them with popularity. I'm going to bring them down. And while he said that, he missed it. Let me hurt him. And I got on my knees. I said, God, I'm in a war. Satan has declared he's going to bring me down. He told me he's going to bring my brothers down. I want you to give us strength to stand. Let us stand like young lions. Let us soar like eagles. Let us be able to stand in this wretched. So what? We've been scarred. We got some bad scars on us. But Jesus had some too. You know, y'all don't know this, but Jesus was in a mess. When the devil got over him, he beat him up pretty bad. Bruises upside the head. Thorns in his head. Pierced in his eye. Drug him all over the place. Spit in his face. Kicked him around. The worst death you could ever have. Legs all blood up, beat down. They couldn't break no bones because they couldn't break no scripture. Come on, somebody. They tried to break bone, but the scripture couldn't be broken. That poor man went up with Golgotha's hill. And while he was going, you see all you folks in here? While he was going, you was on his mind. He looked back at Isaiah 61 and recognized his position. And he told God, if nobody don't go, I'll go. And he walked up that hill, a place of scar, a place where men die. And he walked up that old rugged hill. Now this old black man grabbed this cross and finished helping him take it up the hill. When they say a black man ain't going to heaven, God used a black man to help him carry his cross up the hill. Hallelujah. You know, I just know somebody, they run a survey over there and says that a dog, my son told me about it, said a dog won't have nothing to do with human. Always being friends, that dogs are more friendly with human, I believe that what he said. They mate with man real close. Well, when they went to Africa, they found out a bunch of Africans had dogs that were friends. When they looked at the survey, they said, but I thought a dog wouldn't have nothing to do with a man. Wasn't messing with them Africans for. Because they was men. They was men. And the dogs proved as men because they loved them. That's how come I got three, because they love me. My dogs don't argue with me. I can go in my yard and preach to my dogs. And they'll oof, oof. They'll amen me way people won't. I can tell Kenneth Jesus is real. He'll cross his legs. Hallelujah. I can look at a little puppy I got now. And she's somebody I can talk about Jesus. I can be out there talking about Jesus to myself. And she get to jump up on the fence like she know who I'm talking about. You get to church and people say in church like they don't know what you're talking about. How is it that animals can respect God and people can't do it? I'll never understand how animals will praise God. In 1977, me and my wife were sitting in the church. This man had a collie dog. We was having church. I don't know if we were singing What a Mighty God Serve or The Old Ship of Zion or what we were singing. Sister Dine was singing. You know Sister Dine, Brother Dine? She was singing and was praising God. And so help me God to the truth. The dog pushed it open. The dog walks in and walks up to the front while we're singing. Kneels down and listen to the word in the song service. When the man said you can turn out, the dog leads the church out. The dog come in church, had church, then went out when church was over. He didn't keep going running to the bathroom, walking while the preacher preaching. He stayed in. He didn't mean like he had to use the bathroom. He set it out till the sermon was over. He didn't go to sleep while the preacher was preaching. Or he didn't play with his fingernails while the preacher was preaching. He was wagging that tail like, preach, preach. And wonder why people get so cold and a dog will praise God. Brother Branham said animals know where God at. He said a possum had a stomachache. I wonder how he knew he had a stomachache. He said a possum had a stomachache. Say he come to the door like knocking like a man. And say he heard that scratching. He went to the door and said that little possum standing there and says,
like he's saying, help me. I'm in such pain. And my mom said, just pray for the possum. Say, it gets out to the woods and turn around and say, it look like he's telling him, thank you, and go off into the woods. I wonder how a possum can praise God and you can't praise God. It's something that God got such a master plan, and when all that, we ain't gonna make it. I wonder how many people have told you ain't gonna make it. They don't say, brother, no, I ain't gonna make it. Look, I don't need no amens. I'm telling you what I heard. Donald Reagan is the worstest preacher on the planet. The racialist preacher that is in the world. He's probably been beat more than any preacher, and I've been preaching longer than him, but the stand that he took crucified his name. And I asked Brother Don, I said, are you fighting back or what? He said, no, I'm not fighting back. I only stood for the word. I watched the movie, and I ain't ashamed to tell you I watched this movie because it was a clean movie. The time of the movie was the war room. And the lady told the girl, she said, hey, what you need to do? And it's something he said. You got to stop fighting and let God fight. You need to learn how to fight without fighting. Get and find you a prayer room and tell God your problem. And God will make your enemy respect who you are. The very people that were fighting him now is saying, you know, this man could be right. He'll make your enemy your footstool. How many of y'all have felt like you ain't gonna make it? Can I say anything? Felt like you wasn't gonna make it? Come on, you be honest. I've been in a stage in my life I felt like I couldn't make it.
Amen.
And I knew then I had to go to God.
That's right.
I said to the young people, when you feel like you can't make it, I was 17 when I come to this message. I'm 61 now. I didn't do this on my own. If you feel like you can't make it, look. 17-year-olds, look. Look what he did for me. He brought me all these years because I trusted him. And I ain't always been right. I've had some ups and downs in my life. So I love all of y'all. Each one of those Bible characters I call y'all, I want to read the statement that Brother Bam said now. In closing, I had two or three, but I'm not going to read number one. I took enough time to tell you that some of you are redeemable.
Amen.
I'm making up something. Some of you ain't never sinned. Some of you ain't never done no wrong since the day you're born and up to now. You're sinless. I'm not going to give you a reason to go out and try to sin. When you find out you're not a sinner, you won't want to sin. He said a lot of things in Hebrews, but I'm going to say something in the invisible union. You're a man of the word. I'm going to read it to you because a lot of people don't believe it. And some people ain't going to believe it because Brother Branham said it. But see, you heard Brother Branham, I heard God. Page 38, listen what it says. They call the Holy Spirit. The call of the Holy Spirit is searching the heart. You're standing completely. You never sinned in the first place. Is that all right? You never sinned in the first place. God don't even know it. It's in the sea of forgiveness. Forgiveness. You never did it. You was accused by the accuser. Jesus said in John 14:12, it is, if you can believe this here, he won't lose you. Because he's never lost nothing. Listen, now this is what he says. He says now, he says, you were accused by the accuser, but really from the beginning, you was predestinated to be sons and daughters of God. Have y'all caught my sermon yet? God had a plan. You didn't come in to be lost. You come in to take back what belongs to you. You're standing washed, and your old book in divorce is put away in death, absolutely, out of the existence, even out of the mind of God. When people start reminding you of your past, tell them they don't know what you're talking about. I don't have a past. I got a future. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never be mine. All I know that I'm Miss Jesus. Let me tell you what else he said about you. It's coming to close. He's out of God's mind. Out of God's mind. And you are virtuous bride of Christ. A virtuous bride of Christ. A virtuous bride of Christ. In other words, you're a virgin. Sister Reagan, you know what I'm talking about. She throwed her hand up. A virgin is somebody that's never been touched. So if he said I ain't never been touched, how you gonna call me a sinner? You know, I became a virgin. He took his blood and he took that old nature out of me and dropped it back in hell where it come from and woke up that germ that come from the mind. And it ain't never sin. And the Bible says in 1 John, he that is born of God does not commit sin, for the seed that remain him is of God. It ain't your seed, it's his seed. I say you can't be lost. Well, can I give you another blessing? If God's seed in you, how come you can't be healed? The healing power is in you. The saving power is in you. Victory is in you. Everything you need is in you right now. Tell something else too. I've already been wrapped. I'm in the rapture right now. I'm just waiting on my body change. The word is the rapture. I'm waiting on my body change. I done been caught up in heavenly places. You say, well, what's bothering you? His house I don't like. You calling me names don't bother me at all. I know who I am. How many know who you are? If I told you I was the only bride member in here, who would raise your hand and say that's the truth? See? Well, how many of y'all in here the bride then? Did you know every church I go to, some people don't raise their hand? I've been doing this for, would you believe I've been doing this for 40 years, and every time I ask, how many here bride? Do you know a bunch of them don't raise their hand? That scares me. For somebody to sit here and God ask them, how many bride? And they refuse to be his bride. Because Brother Anson, when the minister asks you something positive, raise your hand. Man, can I ask one more time, how many of you here bride? Would you believe some still didn't raise their hand? I'm shocked. God could be giving you the opportunity for your light to come on, but you being stubborn. It is not what you've done today. It's what you're doing right now. I know that the devil's told some of y'all, I ain't worth nothing. And he's right. That ain't worth nothing. The woman at the well didn't fight back when they said she was caught in adultery. Well, that she was caught in adultery when Jesus began to tell her how many husbands she had. She didn't fight about that. She knew she was wrong. Amen. That's what made her right. The woman that they drug up that was accused, when they was getting ready to stone her, she didn't fight against the fact that she did wrong. But she just accepted what Jesus said. And she was better than they was. This prostitute woman done slept with all them men.
That's right.
And a bunch of religious devils shouting, you know, first he's reading the Bible, reading the law of Moses, couldn't recognize who Jesus was. And Jesus walked and tell her, go and sin no more. Thy sins are forgiven. And they walk away, and he got them too. He did without a fault cast first on. You know what I love about it? The reason why they drug up, they're jealous because she wouldn't sleep with them. How they know she's doing it? They was peeping in the room. And she was so bad, and they caught at night, they must have been a peeping Tom. You don't read in the Bible where that she was out in the wide open. So what was they doing? People don't like facts. They want you to make it look pretty. They was absolutely watching that woman. And then watching that woman and waited till they caught in the very act. And they was jealous because she wouldn't look at them. Guess what?
And Jesus told him tonight, if you ain't got no fault, throw a stone. Right. You know what he's looking at? Their heart. Amen. And the heart can't lie. So I love all of y'all tonight. Give the Lord a big hand. Come on, you do it. Come on, give him a hand. Come on, I'm going to sing me a song now. I am not a sinner. I am the wife of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, Mr. President, I got a song I want to sing. There is nobody in the world like Jesus. God is my everything. He's my rock in a weary land. I'm going to give y'all a number from the choir that y'all going to love. And they're going to be shocked. Come on, choir. Y'all come up here. Let's give them one of our numbers that we do on a good night. Come on, honey. Y'all come on. Come on, Sister Chisholm. I see you here. Y'all come on, choir. Let's give them a number. That Fred, I got him. I got him. You got Lash, you got Josh. They know where you're at. We'll just do it a little bit. We know. I know Brother Tony here, but I know you can say, Brother Lash, we can do it, can't we? Lash said, yes, sir. I believe we can do it. I got some young folks believe we can do it. Fred, you play that piano now, son. You play it for me. Josh, you ready? You play the guitar for me. Christian, you all right? Let's do it. Let's sing the song. Amen. Come on, boys. Yeah.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need is in God's hand.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
Yeah.
Is in God's hand.
I came to tell you
whatever you need.
It's in God's hand.
It's in God's hand.
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need.
It's in God's hand.
Come on, children.
fire.
Y'all might be seated. To all of y'all, God bless you. Keep us in your prayers. We'll see you back in the morning. If you got a need, remember, God's got it. We love you. God bless you. You know, Brother Branham said that the angels love this while his brother coming. He can do anything. He can do anything. All things are possible. He can do anything. He can do anything. He can do anything. All things are possible. He can do anything. I just want to tell you all this right here. Jesus is here. How many know he's here right now? Jesus is here. All things are possible for Jesus is here.
Is no reason why.
Tonight, mighty God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go ahead and give him a hand. He's worthy. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your plan, Father, even when we don't always understand it. Thank you, Lord, that you make all things work together. Praise be to God. Don't you appreciate his grace tonight, his mercy? I mean, I can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. So appreciate you coming tonight. Service in the morning at 11. We just come back once again expecting the Lord to move. I'm not sure if Brother Chisholm will be speaking in the morning or Brother Fred will be speaking, how that'll work. But we'll come with expectation in our hearts and just see what God will do. Amen. I'd also, before I dismiss you, I'd like to wish my two oldest granddaughters a happy birthday today, Ashley and Courtney. I'd also like to have a special welcome tonight to Brother Chuck and Sister Tammy. They've been down in Louisiana, and we've certainly been missing them. I got to thinking about you all this week. I just got such a hankering to see you. I'm just glad to have them back with us. Amen. Certainly appreciate Brother Fred and the church coming up, visiting with us, Emma. Amen. Praise the Lord. So appreciate the saints, the singers, the musicians, all that have come. And hey, amen, we got another service tomorrow, so praise the Lord. I'm just looking forward to it. Remember the Fred, our best of friends. That's right. I go down to his place and he comes up here and we go out and eat and we just hug one another and people just kind of look at us and thinking, you know, I go down there and he tells people, I said, this is my brother, and they kind of look at him and think. But it's right, same father. That's amen, same father. So appreciate the grace of God for bringing us together. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we love you tonight so much. Thank you for the service, Lord. Thank you for the word. Thank you for helping Brother Fred to be able to get out of the way and you'd be able to speak to us, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I pray that we'd take these words in our heart. Lord, maybe people going through hard times, difficult times, and they're trying to understand what's going on. May you just use these words to encourage them to know you have a plan. You have a plan. Lord, it may look awful. It may look sometimes like we're going to lose, but we know in your word we have already won. We're so grateful. Thank you for the service tonight, Lord. Pray that you just go with us now. Watch over us, Lord. Bring us back in the morning. We're just looking for a great time in your presence again. God bless you, saints, as they depart, Lord. And watch over them, Father, people out on the roads and the highways. And we claim your protection, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn and shake hands with somebody. Would you tell them it's been good to be in the house of the Lord? Sing something for us, Harry, as we dismiss. God bless you, saints. Each of you visitors that are with us, we appreciate you coming. May the Lord be with you. We'll see you in the morning at 11 o'clock.
More than I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release myself, the more you take control. The more that I can humble myself, I hear is yours.